G'day everyone, I'm Madonna Guy.
David Seal here.
And we're here with the Natural Alternative. Welcome.
Oh, of
Today.
course, Madonna's a naturopath, kinesiologist. I'm a holistic and family counselor.
Beautiful. And one of the recurring themes that I was feeling throughout the week with clients was about people feeling picked on. And it's one of these things that it's hard to explain, except that quite often their physiology and their neurotransmitters are making them hypersensitive. So therefore, they're on high alert a lot of the
And
time.
their relationship history often too.
Yeah, so we'll
It's
chat about.
one of the more common things in counseling.
Yeah, so we'll chat about why people feel picked on and what we can do about it, because it's usually the same solutions for everything. But again, it's good to put it into a little package and, talk about it, because it's so ubiquitous out there.
Right.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So what do you see with your clients? Like, I know from the ACE score perspective, so that adverse
Well,
childhood events perspective, the higher the ACE, the more likelihood people are going to feel picked on.
they also transfer out into, because the problem with childhood experience, but the thing is, it can also happen in adult experience.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter when you're, let's call it abused, except that's a bit of a generic term that doesn't really cover most things. And so we could use it, but
Well, these days everyone's claiming everything is abuse. Did you see that politician here in Australia just last week? Someone went to grab his phone and the politician was screaming abuse. And I actually watched a video and I thought, really? Come on. Anyway, whatever.
right, okay. Well, generally with abuse, there needs to be a strong pattern, right, from one person or a group. And so you really need patterns rather than a one-off for it to be debilitating. And it sure can be debilitating. And whether, so carry on.
Oh, well, I was just thinking about why this topic matters, because so many people feel picked on in their workplace, in their home, by their
Okay,
kids or
so.
partners or parents-in-laws
Yeah.
or grand, it's just sort of it's just all over the place. But I just really wanted to talk about the fact that it's not about weakness, because people
Well,
feel weak when they feel picked on.
sure.
People feel like they're doing something wrong, because that blame or shame often gets put on them, whereas
Helpless.
They
They
feel
feel
helpless.
helpless.
But there's, basically we're going to really talk about, hopefully, well, this is the aim, to sort of talk about what goes on in the nervous system and the gut, our primitive reflexes, the ACE, our stories. The stories is huge. Can I talk about a lady yesterday just for a sec? Because I know David's going to really get into the philosophy behind, feeling picked on. But I had a client in yesterday and she always does the same thing. She's so terrified of a particular health issue
Right.
that anytime we make a move with it, and I have this discussion with her every month, and something shifts a tiny bit and it terrifies her. So she pulls back and she doesn't continue to move forward. So every month we have the same thing, and every month she begs me for help. And it's sort of like you said, just, with one of your clients last week, I can't be the savior. You have to take the bull by the horns. You have to be the one to.
That's general, and I that might cross over with the more physical stuff you do, that it's the concept of rescuing. Do you know what I mean? And so actually, there's been more than one people, and people on the outside too. It's like when you do some type of rescuing, and I remember when I was training in counseling, and I was doing a practice session, and the lecturer said, "Oh, you seem to be rescuing the client." And I asked him about it, and I asked my seat, and they didn't really explain it very well. And on the weekend, I was just looking it up, and what I found was that what it really means is that you're doing more work than the client. And it's the client's work, not my work. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I'm facilitating, acting as, because when you're counseling, you're kind of, depending on the type of, you're acting like a secure base, like a parent would be. Do you know what I mean? So you're a safe base. So your job isn't to, like with kids, a good example in teaching is that when you've got you're helping a kid with an assignment or a thing, it's really easy to do the work for them.
So many parents do that these days.
including me. I've done that in the past, and it's like, so except it's hard to get that thing where they do the work, and it's very easy to want to rescue them and go and just give them the answers as you go,
Yeah.
you know, like if it was maths or. And so it's a similar thing in therapy that the job isn't to rescue, the job is to create understanding of the situation so that they can go out and practice, because you know it's all
And
about,
make better decisions and choices and
better decisions, but just better at managing situations like
yeah.
that, where like because one place where this comes up is if people have had past experience, they feel triggered,
Yes.
and you know people will feel triggered by someone who's not even relevant, like because something had happened to somebody. They'll be in the workplace and they'll see someone similar to that who has nothing to do with what happened. And because they see a similar thing, they'll get triggered by it.
Yeah.
And they might even think that person's abusive, but that's because they haven't resolved their thing
Yeah.
to find to. Because once you, if you've been badly traumatized, it's easy to see it everywhere,
Yeah.
you know. And especially if you're hanging out with other people with the similar thing, because we are our association.
We
And
are.
nearly everything is contagious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the latest research shows that if the people I'm hanging around with, well, just say I'm a divorced guy, right?
Yep.
So just say I hang around with all guys who are divorced and are
Yep.
hurt by it. That might carry through so that I start imitating their, you know, thoughts or feelings or
And
this
belief systems,
or
yeah.
that. And
Like
it's
all women are dangerous, or all
all women
women
are,
try
and
to,
it's the same with divorced women too. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not gender specific.
No, absolutely not.
Or even worse, if I start hanging out with people who come from the dark triad, they have a lot of narcissistic or Machiavellian or psychopathic traits. Just by agreeing with them and talking to them, I can develop those narcissistic, Machiavellian or psychopathic traits in
Yeah.
myself by not standing up against it. Do you know what I
Yes.
mean? By not calling it out, by agreeing with it, by keeping it a secret or whatever it is. And
Yeah.
so that's another type of contagion, because we are our association.
Yeah, and one of the things that that can do, because the whole nervous system, when we're feeling picked on, it's hypersensitive to threat.
Right.
So if you're hanging around a bunch of people who have that same belief system, you can put you all into a hypersympathetic nervous system
Right.
state. So all your collective nervous systems can be heightened. It's sort of like if you're angry about something and you start, peppering some information, then everyone else starts throwing in their little anger about things. It's a contagion.
Right.
It's a contagion. And it's easy to do when you've got like a base level of understanding about something, but that hypervigilance can make neutral cues, so cues that shouldn't trigger us, feel threatening.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And the other thing is that it crosses social lines. So for example, if you've got a family system where some people you've talked to me about, like they've got really high childhood adverse experience
Yeah.
levels, and so they'll go out in the world, they might get a job, and then they'll feel that
Yeah.
there where it might not actually be there,
So, of
because
course, the end result of having a high ACE score is that you weren't safe during your childhood. So,
right.
if you're not safe during your childhood and that's your learnt behavior over 18 years and you go out into the workplace, you're not going to magically feel safe there.
No, and because you're a kid, you couldn't do anything about it at the time, you're helpless, and then you come out as an adult and you're still like, because you'll be hyper vigilant,
Yeah.
right? For and so you know hyper, what are they, fawn, what are they,
Oh, the fight, flight, freeze, fawn.
yeah,
Yep.
you're locked in that. And so because you're hyper vigilant, you're too aware,
Right.
like, because a lot of people are normal people aren't hyper vigilant, so a lot of things just go over their heads because they're
Right.
like, yeah, whatever, you know. Those people, whereas if you're sensitive to that, oh, it hits you. Whereas all the other people are going, what?
Yeah.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to fix this, you know, like these things exist in family systems.
Yeah.
Like from the family system point of view, there's no individual, right? The family system is the individual.
Right.
So to fix it, you need to work within the family system, which is what family counseling's about. But it also exists in social systems.
Yes.
Like if you belong to a group that has a negative attitude towards another group of society,
Yeah.
those negative things might be internalized, and next minute you're like fearing men or fearing women or fearing someone who's in a different religious group to you.
Or political group.
But whereas actually everybody's entitled, or political, whereas everyone's entitled to the freedom of their own opinion and choice according to their thing. And so if we get too far on one side of something, we can either become a victim or too aggressive, you know,
Yeah, absolutely. And
towards other groups or other
yeah.
people. And
And
so,
then feeling picked on and it makes you angry, you know, so or depressed
or triggered.
or triggered. Yeah, absolutely. And that can activate the amygdala. So the amygdala is that part in the brain. It's activated within 1/500th of a second to
Bloody
respond to
hell.
crisis. So if you're having a happy time at a party, everything's good, and then someone triggers you because of a word or a belief or a something or other, you're already in that amygdala, in that fight or flight or rage or freeze or fawn or escape or submission or whatever. You're
Yeah,
already in there.
and then people will ask you at the party or the social thing about what's up, and what'll you say? Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
You know.
Or you have a bottle of red wine and tell everyone everything.
Oh, and then everyone's like, "Oh, come on, guys, this is a party."
Yeah, so it's but then it shuts down the prefrontal cortex. So once the amygdala gets activated, it shuts down your problem-solving areas.
Right,
And
which is
so,
all up here.
and of course, the problem, like David was saying, the problem with having those peers believing all the same things, or the group that we're hanging around, that sort of contagion, is that you can actually create more neuronal pathways to have that same belief. It makes them stronger and stronger and stronger, depending on the people you hang around.
Right. Because what's the goal? The goal is
Peace and
like
harmony.
but in family therapy we call it differentiation,
Right.
which means interdependent relationships, interdependent. Right? So if we're on one side where we cut off the other side, like
Yes.
I belong to a political group or a religious group or whatever, and we cut off the others, like same in family, you'll cut one person off.
Yeah.
That's on one side, that's too distant. It's not interdependent. It's like distant. On the other side, if there's too much closeness, too close, that's called fusion, right? And then you're in each other's space and people triangulate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, we can't work this out, bring in another family member next minute. It's a crazy thing, you know.
Yeah.
But integration in the middle means independent. So chaos on one side, cut off on the other side, and interdependence in the middle,
Yeah.
which is integration,
Right.
right? Because both sides on the outside, cutting off won't talk to people or arguing with them isn't integrated.
Yeah.
What do you think of
I
that?
oh, I just think it's just such a mess out there because people have been told for 10, 20, 30, 40 years that the best thing to do is just cut off family members. Like, you
Oh.
know, that is just all over social media. You don't need these people. Choose your family, choose your
Oh, that thing
tribe.
too.
Yeah,
All
that it's
the
massive.
people who are talking about narcissism.
But also the
And
people talking spiritualism. You know, they sort of go, your family's just who you were born with. Get rid of them if they're not adding to your life.
do they?
No, yes. Oh yeah, no, it's been going on for decades. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, well,
So,
and
because it's one of
that's
the big
ironic.
things in kinesiology, you know, I was fighting back, you know, going back like 20 years ago, because I've been kinesiology for 30 years. And the way that they started teaching it was supporting that sort of crap,
Right.
which sort of would drive me nuts. People would, like, if I was having a balance at a course, and they would literally say to me, well, why aren't you leaving this situation? I go, because I want to solve it. I want to find a solution. I
Right.
don't want to leave it.
Well,
Yeah.
in some cases, just say, you know, unfortunately, there's, you know, in the dark triad categories or people who really harm other people,
Yeah.
there's between 5 and 10% of society like that.
Yeah.
You know, so if somebody's got a really hard-edged one of those things, psychopathy or
Yeah.
narcissism or Machiavellianism, maybe you do have to cut for a while, but just to be safe, but
Yes.
that should be a rare thing. Because I do see in the videos on, say, narcissism,
Yeah.
the most common thing I see is that they just say, cut them off. And you're
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, but maybe you could try integrating it first, you know, because different clients I know and different people I know in the world, there's a lot of good reasons that people don't leave.
Yes.
Like, you know, even if you've got a fairly abusive partner, there's a lot of good reasons to stay and work on it. If you can find the, you know, like the problem with family therapies, a bit hard to get. Like a lot of therapists are individual therapists, and a while ago there were some studies showing that the individual therapists were sort of really trampling on the family therapist territory and
Right.
really causing separations and divorces where there could be work to be done
Yeah.
to actually help and heal the thing, because you got kids involved half the time too,
Yeah.
and most
And
kids.
it's not a small thing, but kids and homes and incomes and,
Well, it's just
stuff.
the
It's not
stability.
easy.
Yeah. And if you can work on the harmony, it's a good thing, because the kids,
Yeah.
the kids in a lot of cases, they just love their mum and their dad, and
Yeah.
it's not their problem really, and it gets made into their problem.
Yeah.
And but anyway,
Yeah. So
we're
the
living in a polarized society, so
we
some
are.
things are getting more difficult.
And it makes people hypersensitive. So, those cues that you pick up in your body, quite often people feel their body first before the brain actually catches up. So whether or not that it's the heart rate and some anxiety or flush to the face or just wanting to punch someone in the nose, that those, I'm joking, of
Well, that's a
course. But
question that
it's that hypersensitivity. That
because
nervous system just
that
wants to
might
act out.
one thing, if I'm going through a situation with a counseling client, is that it's like you get them to describe a thing, and then you go, how did it make you feel? What was
Yeah.
happening in your body when that was
Yes.
happening? The somatic
Yeah,
response,
absolutely.
because then they can feel, because it's hard to, because when there's chaos happening, it's hard to differentiate your feelings
Yes.
or even your thoughts, because your thoughts are going haywire,
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I want to chat about a little bit is about the Moro reflex. So this is my area, but David's son happens to have a blocked primitive reflex. So there's lots of signs of primitive reflexes being blocked.
Oh, I bought a like a exercise training mat the other day, and it's like that thick, they're fairly hard, and they roll up and fold into three.
Yep.
And so I can finally lie on my back and do Moro reflex
Yeah,
exercise,
right, nice.
because the ground's too hard, yoga mat was too hard, but something that thick's really good.
Ah, very nice. Yeah, so the Moro reflex is a primitive reflex that's supposed to, so primitive reflexes are things that are set up in the womb when we're babies in the womb, and by the time we're 2 years old, they're all supposed to be resolved. And the Moro reflex particularly is a little reflex that makes us crawl out the birth canal. So, and this is not picking on anything. Women have to do what they have to do. But things like C-sections, cesarean sections, can block the Moro reflex being unraveled.
Because it's in
Things,
between the bottom of your hips, isn't it?
well, it's sort of the primitive reflexes can be anywhere in the brain stem as well. That tends to be where they live, but the one with the hips is called Babinski reflex, I think. But basically, there's these things that can make baby, and you
Because
can see them.
you do this thing where you massage the babies, and that's what?
Well,
Or is
that's
that
a
not
different
true?
primitive. It's one of the primitive
Oh,
reflexes.
okay.
So yeah, there's lots of different primitive reflexes. So a lot of them are about handwriting. So when kids sort of get their hands and they sort of do the whole grip thing, this sort of thing, there's primitive reflexes blocked. If someone is writing on a bit of paper and they write uphill, that's an asymmetrical neck writing reflex. If the kids never crawl left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and a lot of kids are put in daycare and they're put in jolly seats and things, they're not allowed to crawl on their belly. They're not allowed to sleep on their belly. We're messing up a generation of kids by the things that we're doing to them that we believe are keeping them safe because everyone believes that that causes SIDS, which I think is ridiculous. But anyway, whatever. So basically, primitive reflexes can get blocked. It can cause toe walking. It can cause hypersensitivity in the brain. And the Moro reflex is one of the big reasons people feel picked on.
Oh, so you're saying Moro, because toe walking's
It's
instead
one
of,
of the primitive
I know, but
reflexes.
I'm just saying toe walking is one of those things when you look at ASD autism.
Yeah.
Toe walking is, so it's,
ASD and
yeah,
autism is
I know.
always linked with primitive
Okay,
reflexes.
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
always. Always. So, because everything about what happens in those first months of life is about connecting the left and right sides of the brain and about activating the front and rear parts of the brain. So, the actual act of lying on your stomach as a baby and pushing yourself up and screaming blue murder to say, hey, mum, come and bloody feed me, that is releasing the Moro reflex. So, how many babies do not get put on their bellies? Women are being told not
But the
to do
Moro
that these
reflex
days.
exercises on your back.
Yeah, but it's because we haven't done enough belly stuff. We didn't crawl out the birth canal correctly. We were given medications from day one of our life. All of that can mess with the neurotransmitters. So the neurotransmitters can be messed by any, there's so much intervention during birth these days, forceps, early separation, going into intensive care units, antibiotics, early medical procedures, the vaccines, the early stress imprints on the vagus nerve. Because at the very first moment, you're taken by a nurse and a doctor out the back and put on a cold, bloody thing so they can measure you. I mean, come on. Is this a good way to come into the world? We need Jimi Hendrix belly button window in the background. And then we get the toxic load, the anesthetics, environmental exposures. How all of that happens at that moment of birth can set up our fear, fight, flight. Actually, tell them your story about when you were born.
Well, I wasn't there. My
Ha
memory wasn't there.
ha. But you've heard mum tell it a lot enough
Yeah,
time.
I guess I came out by myself. I was born blue. And then I believe, I understand that the nurse came in and my mum's going, "Hey, he's dead, he's dead, he's blue." And they just went, "Oh, she's had a baby." And they picked me up by the feet and I peed all over my mum.
So that's a pretty good birthing story, I reckon, as birthing stories go.
At least I wasn't dropped on my head.
Well, yeah, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Yeah, so all of that stuff that happens in the first moments of birth can impact whether the Moro reflex disappears by 4 months old or not. And then whether or not, like one of a young woman I knew who was terrified that her baby was not going to be able to fit into her social sphere. What she did from day one was never allowed her baby on her belly, on her belly lying down. She would sit her up in restaurants from never let her crawl on the ground because she hated germs and all sorts of things like that. There's no way that child didn't have a massive, massive, massive retained primitive reflex.
Probably wouldn't have had a very strong immune system
Kid,
either.
yeah, kids are meant to be on the ground.
In
Kids
the
are
dirt.
meant to play. Part of what allows them to get their hand-eye coordination is picking stuff up and putting it in their mouth. It's meant to happen. This is how babies work stuff out. So when we deny them that by having a hyper clean, awful way that, it's just awful. It's awful. So we need children to be children. We need
Well,
babies to be
it's
babies.
funny, isn't it? The modern thing. Like I remember growing up, we were very much exposed to the elements, like the dirt and
Yeah.
everything. And I don't remember having any days off school in high school, and because I wasn't really very sick.
I had glandular fever in grade nine.
Hard to do.
So I spent 6 weeks at home because that was the going rate at the time.
Right, but these days there's an interesting thing because nearly all kids go to daycare.
Yeah.
Your parents want you to be healthy for that.
Well,
Right,
you're
so,
still paying for it if you're not, so this is the thing
I
with the
know, so
government
if,
funding.
I know, but it's a bit like, oh, our kid's got to see, and there's also a thing about the parents taking too much responsibility.
Yeah.
Like I was watching, I
Our
sent,
helicopter
yeah,
parents.
but I sent you that thing, Russell Barkley.
Yeah.
He's probably the world's most well-researched ADHD researcher.
Yeah.
He's a psychiatrist, and I maybe I don't agree with some of his stuff, but his research is just A grade.
Yeah.
And he was pointing out that by the time a kid's 13 or 14, the recent study has shown that parents have 6% influence,
Oh
right?
dear.
And that increases as you go down. So there's more influence as they're younger. But he goes, but most parents are blaming themselves or blaming the kid. But the fact is that you don't have any, by the time they're a teenager, you don't really have much control anyway.
Can I ask a question there? So, what if a child has to grow up earlier? So, for example, if they're like a little 13-year-old, but they're in a seven, no. They're a 7-year-old, but they're in a 13-year-old mind because they're seeing abuse or trauma. Do they grow up even earlier than that?
Oh, well, sadly, they do.
I've got those people who, they saw their parents abused, so they had to grow up and keep the younger kids safe and all
Yeah, the
sorts of stuff like that.
parentification.
Yeah. So I imagine it even happens younger for those kids because their boundaries would
Oh,
set up very,
I
very
never
young.
thought of that. Mainly with this, it's mainly what I'm talking about is parents thinking that they're in charge of everything
Yeah.
when they're not. And I'm just reading back to what you were saying about them keeping the kids absolutely clean. It's like, really, it's like you might be better off letting them play in the dirt. But they don't want to do that, and that's maybe too much responsibility. If those kids will grow up, they could have the tendencies toward allergies. Like this idea of let's have the pure baby, you know. And I'm a bit like, oh, okay.
They actually did a study in the UK about 10 years ago before science went crazy. But basically they had this really it was out in the country, but the kids were so hyper allergic that the parents kept them inside all the time anyway. And they were actually measuring the microbes in the forest that they lived near. So I don't know whether it was microbes or the microbiome of the forest, but basically they found, what a surprise, that when you spend time in the forest and nature, you're actually boosting your immune system and widening the variety of infections and allergies that your body can cope with.
Oh, so they did that and they improved. So there's an interesting point here, just widening the variety of things. Because they find that with the microbiome, by increasing the variety of what is it, plant cellulose.
So they're called phytochemicals, so all the colors of the rainbow,
But when people do that, they leave out like all the vegetable stuff includes beans and I mean everything vegetable,
Oh, they're
they've all
legumes, technically.
legumes, I know about legumes, but they've all got different types of fiber
Phytochemicals.
that, and it's the variety increase in that that makes the variety of the microbiome healthy. Is that
They
interesting?
did a study where they took people from LA in America and somewhere in Africa, I can't remember what. And what they did was found that the average person in LA had about 2,000 different microbes in their gut. The average person on a really base, and I'm not talking a big city in Africa, I'm just talking somewhere middle of nowhere, and they had at least 20,000 microbes in their gut. So what they did was transplanted the two groups for 2 weeks. And in the basically the
Oh, they
LA
both had a
people,
similar quantity?
no. LA was 2,000, Africa was 20,000. So, and it was because everything was so much closer to nature, but also in LA, everything was so refined. You know, this ultra processed food was, the usual
Has this
55 to
affected the
70%,
microbiome?
100%, because it's anti-nutrients. So when you're eating white flour with everything removed, it's an anti-nutrient. Sugar is an anti-nutrient. So not only are you not getting
If
anything
there's
from
too
it,
much.
well, they're anti-nutrients regardless of how much you take. So every time you have them, you are not only not getting anything from it, but it takes nutrition to reduce the inflammation that is caused by that. So what they did after the 2 weeks,
It's hard to get sweet things in an all-natural environment. They don't occur so frequently.
So we've got to stop the sweet tooth. So it's all use things like carrot, sort of go back to basics and go, well, how can I do this naturally? Or the berries and things like that. But anyway, so what they found over the 2 weeks was that the LA people, of course, their microbiome got more advanced, and the African people got more unhealthy. And then they retransplanted them
I
back from
thought
where
they
they
might have
were.
both got sick because they
No,
oh,
no, no,
oh
no.
so the city people improved.
Yep, and the African people got worse. And what it does, though, when you change your diet for the better, and start increasing these sort of things, it not only increases that breadth of the microbiome, and now we know that even Neanderthals, they've done they found Neanderthals, and there's still like crap on their teeth from 20,000 years ago or something. They've taken that and found at least 20,000 microbes on them. So Neanderthals had better guts and microbiome than we do in Western society these days. Hilarious. It's not a surprise, though, is it?
So increasing variety of just about anything is good.
Yes.
Like, because if you think about it, even with the mind, narrow-minded people have got
Oh,
less
nice.
diversity of ways of
Of
doing,
thought.
ways of thinking, ways of being. And so, in counseling, we'll call it the superego, which is what everyone agrees to in society. And you see what that is, and it's usually pretty narrow-minded. And I'm not being critical. It's just that we
But that's the
generationally,
hard wiring of the
according
brain.
to our social conditioning in our group, because people generally will do what the other people. And the reason for that is decision making is really hard. So if you just go with what everyone's doing, it's a real time saver. The same thing is if you belong to a religion. Like one really positive aspect in spirituality is that the group and the philosophy itself makes decisions for you.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through anything. Oh, we do it like this. And you don't have to think, which is really good because successful people make fast decisions.
Yeah.
People who have got, some difficulties like ADHD or similar mindsets, they're really slow on decisions and you
Yeah.
can't make decisions and you put things off. And
Yeah.
whereas, you're better going whack, right, do it.
Yes. And it's sort of funny because, the Morrow mindset that we were talking about, when we've got that Morrow jammed in the brain, it means we've got less connections to the frontal cortex. We're less likely to be able to make decisions properly. And certainly when people get to the end of the day and sort of doing, well, what am I eating for dinner? And you just go, oh, crap it, let's have a cheese sandwich.
Yeah, just pick up a pizza on the way, oh, yeah.
And it's way too easy these days. But just thinking about that, the diet, the cortisol and biochemistry. So when you are choosing those refined foods, it increases your cortisol. So you'll get those blood sugar swings, which causes cortisol
Oh, that's
spikes,
interesting.
which causes emotional reactivity.
Oh, right.
So therefore you end, so inflammatory foods cause gut irritation, which causes brain inflammation. So there's that massive
But
gut-brain connection.
and also that could be another reason for things like so people's blood sugar goes up
Yep.
when they so because like with heart health
Yep.
they'll say don't eat sugar,
Yep.
but the real reason is it's cortisol which puts stress on your system, which
Yeah.
a part of the reason
Yeah,
of blood sugar.
because once you end up with that brain inflammation,
Because it
anything that
constricts the
causes
blood
that heart,
vessels.
yes, absolutely. So once you start ending up with the poor nutrient absorption, you can't release your neurotransmitters properly.
So is that the basis of how is the cortisol produce inflammation
Yeah, and the stress
directly?
hormones amplify your sensitivity to criticism. So then you always feel picked on, and we snap faster than other people when we're in this hypersensitive space. So in the same way with the ACE score, so the ACEs shape the nervous system development,
Well, during childhood, yes.
and that high ACE score heightens our threat detection, and then the childhood patterns become adult patterns. And the emotional memories
Adult
are stored in the body.
maladaptions,
Yeah,
maladaptions.
absolutely. And that's why small things feel big, when we've had so much early stress.
So there's another part to that. So we've looked at a lot of stuff with the whole that Epstein thing.
Yes.
A lot of the people had difficult childhoods,
Yeah, right.
single mum family, and I was researching this on the weekend. What happens to people who've come from either neglect or an abuse
Because
from
you've
a?
listened to a lot of the survivors, haven't you?
I've listened to lots, yep, as many as I could. But the thing is, with that childhood stuff, it makes an impression that people who are predatory can recognize,
Yeah.
right? It creates some type of I'm just trying to think, some type of schism in your nervous system, so
Yeah.
that they say that psychopaths can tell by the way someone walks. They can see that person because they have this type of vulnerability. Do you mean that it's there? And so when people feel picked on, the thing is, if they don't heal it, it's very hard to get through that because it actually has a physical impression which predators recognize.
Yeah.
There's a weakness there, and they can,
Yeah.
and it's also difficult to heal, especially if there's been years and years of it.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get through, and the problem is that things like the therapy is expensive, and so it's like for some people it's hard to work out how do you get this thing so that because they'll notice that people treat them differently.
Yeah.
Not only the predators can. Oh, there's an opportunity. Like it's like, what's an example given that people who are not like that, they walk down the street, they're very self-aware, they're focused. I'm going here, whereas they're not just wandering. Do you know what I mean? It's like that's a thing. There's someone slowing down. You're on the street. There's someone, out in space. Oh, so the person will come up and whatever it is they're doing, scamming you or whatever,
Funny,
saying something mean or.
I was telling a story yesterday to a client about, years ago, and I had this lovely day where my clinic was all booked. I was on top of the world, and I had an hour, and I was just wandering down the street, 10 minutes away, and there were these guys, and they were getting donations for something, and I stupidly looked at them and smiled. Next thing, I'm in a 40-minute conversation and signed up to a monthly thing. And
Oh, really? Oh, they saw you coming.
oh yeah, they did. And so it was sort of funny. And afterwards, I thought, man, I really shouldn't take an hour off and just wander
Right.
down the street.
No, but another thing, people are vulnerable to that. They're also
I was happy
self-aware.
to donate to that cause for a
Sure.
little while.
But the people like that, they're also self-aware. And because they might be on hypervigilance going out, do you know what I mean? They're also aware that they're not together and forward, do you know what I mean? Like, but another thing, people might stay home all the time because they become even stronger, like paranoid or
And it's easy for that to sort of
agoraphobic.
happen. So, like,
Especially if someone's been assaulted. Like I know one guy who he got beaten up by the train and they stole his wallet and he doesn't want to leave the house anymore. And he's like 17 now, but he's scared to even go out because I've heard that recently a couple of times, being assaulted on buses and trains. Well,
No, it's a little bit scary. And again, that's why
that's
we
enough
need to
to.
have the therapy. It's why people need to get, educated, with what we can do and what's going on in our brain. Because when you're feeling picked on, you feel like you're useless, or, no one likes you, So there's a real
Yeah, so right.
energy about
It
it,
feeds itself.
So, and people feel like one of my friends, she's got her third fine in the last few months, and she
Right.
can't afford it. And here in Australia, they're $333. Maybe she's had four in the last 3 months.
Speeding
Well, one was speeding 55 in a 50 zone, and two of them were car parking, and I can't remember what the other one was, but she just can't afford it. They're just going on credit cards.
Well, a lot of
And
stuff by camera now. Like there, because there's these new laws in Australia, I don't know, but there's even if you touch your phone now, it's like 5 points and five. I don't know, it's different in different states. So I was watching a video about
Anyway,
it.
Agenda 2030. Okay, so nervous system support, the sort of stuff that we can do, and then we'll sort of start rounding up. But, the things we always talk about, breath work and grounding.
Well, breath work. If you can get it right, do you know what I mean? Just deep breaths out with breath. When you're triggered, if you can hold on and not react, it allows the nervous energy to go up to the top of the brain, to the mid cortex, and round to the prefrontal cortex. Of course, a lot of people have this, it's just not working very well at all. Because just like integration we were describing earlier between chaos and distance, this part of your brain, the frontal cortex, it integrates the rest of the brain. And all types of things like, ADHD, autism, or trauma, they make this part of the brain less active. And so we're trying to get the thinking up here, all the intuitive stuff, the logical stuff, because kids, they've worked out in the recent research, kids' brains don't finish until they're 25. So really, the parents' job is to be the outsourced prefrontal cortex till the kids are 25.
Outsource.
Outsource. No,
I love that.
But that's really what's going on. If I'm a parent and I'm not regulating what the prefrontal, so it's not grown yet. So this is the part that says no to stuff, no to doing the wrong thing, right? So the parent's job is to mediate in a way to be an external drive for the prefrontal cortex. And I was explaining that to my boy the other day. I
That's
was like,
really
"There's my
funny. I
job.
love it.
I've got to be your prefrontal cortex till you're 25." And you need to listen if you can, and see that I'm. It's a helpful thing, because the kids want to just hang out with their mates, and their mates aren't always, the best influence.
No, they just want to have fun.
And
They just want to have fun.
that's fair enough too.
And I know that I didn't have a lot of self-worth, self-esteem when I was a kid. So I was often one of the ones, draged into situations because I didn't want to say no to anyone.
Right.
And one of our best friends,
People pleasing.
she's just got this rock solid confidence in herself. And it's a really interesting thing to look at because I often think, well, I don't know where that comes from. I certainly never had whatever that
Well, it
is.
might not be confidence. What it might be is that so if somebody has a parent with psychopathic or narcissistic traits, what's going on with those people is they're not feeling properly. So they come across as being really confident because they're just intellectual. Do you see where that
Yeah, I don't
see?
think that's the case, but anyway.
No, but there's a type of confidence in that,
Yeah. Her parents were intellectuals. Her parents
Oh,
were
were they?
intellectuals.
Well, yeah, okay.
So very safe, lots of money, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, okay, wasn't okay.
Just no abuse.
Yeah.
No abuse, no
Oh, that type of
problems.
confidence. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so a differentiated person.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, because there's another type of thing too that, so people who are abusive, right? It's like cocaine,
Yeah,
right?
right.
The most recent research in the psychopathy. Because they've been trying to work out, there's been so much study on victims with the ACE score and
Yeah.
like the recipients, because they always come to counselling.
Yes.
They're always in, you know, right? They're always in therapy and treatment of some type. But the people who are doing the mean stuff all the time, they actually get this lift that's like cocaine, right? Every time they dominate someone or manipulate something to get something out of them or succeed in a lie so that everyone's, they actually get this big hit that's like a strong dopamine thing,
They're
like cocaine.
like teenagers. They
I
get
don't.
four times the dopamine boost.
That's right. It's the oh well, they teenagers get no, but they get it's a big dopamine
Oh, did
hit.
I get
Like
it wrong?
no. So well, I'll just be teenagers. They get a double dopamine hit for novelty.
Yeah.
Daniel Siegel talked about that, and what that means is if you work this out, it means. All you have, because oh, and the other part of that makes teenagers like drug addicts,
Yeah, right.
like in a sense, because they're just in the day. There's no future planning. They just want to fill the day in with interesting things,
Yeah.
which is like what someone withdrawing from drugs is like.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is find them new things to do that are interesting to get them through the day. Because if you don't give them new things, they're going to find something that isn't as
That's
helpful.
all you have to do.
I know, it's a failure.
Teddy,
Let
the
me
other.
try to do it.
So Teddy, the other day, we were talking about the fact that, he's done dancing and now he's doing acting. And I said to Jay, I wonder if he's still doing acting. We really should find out. You don't want to be that grandparent, 6 months down the track who goes, oh, how's acting? He goes, I gave that up 6 months ago,
Yeah.
Grandma. Thanks for noticing. But all of his little videos these days, there's so much acting in it. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
Anyway.
but this so. I was really interested in this latest research, is it's like a cocaine thing where they're
Yeah.
not because narcissistic grandiosity or manipulating, telling lies,
And you heard
they get
Robert
it.
F. Kennedy Jr. say recently that sugar's more addictive to cocaine. You've seen the studies with the
Oh,
rats. So
no.
they will put rats in rooms and give them cocaine and sugar, and they will kill themselves eating the sugar
Right.
and leave the cocaine alone.
Right.
So these kids are addicted to the sugar as well because it gives them that high.
Yeah, but I'm particularly talking about negative behaviors.
Yes.
There's a hit from them. So if somebody's a master at it, they're really manipulative, they just get their own way, they hurt people and tell a big lie about it, so the person they get hurt looks like the aggressor. There's a big hit for that, right? And what happens is that because I'll often work with other people too, in a family system or different groups of people with similar things, and they get such a big dopamine hit that all the normal pleasure bleaches out. You
Imagine their
can't, because you're
little.
getting 600 or 700 points of dopamine, chocolate, which is 50, doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas the normal things that aren't heavy drugs or things like that, they only go up to like sex is 150 points. Things like nicotine are 150 to 200. Things like
What's the
cannabis.
point score you're talking about?
Well, there's certain, well, they've worked out what sort of points of dopamine they are. So,
Right, okay.
something the pleasurable things like chocolate, going for a
Yeah.
walk in nature, they might be 50 to 100,
Yeah.
right? Whereas if you've got something flooding you with 5 to 1,000 points of dopamine, all the normal pleasures are bleached out.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Anyway,
No, I hadn't heard that. So.
latest research I've just looking at on the weekend.
Yeah, in counseling kinesiology, we've got a list of crap, more the crap stuff happening. One of my clients, she was doing some course about trauma, and one of the things they didn't even mention as a potential trauma thing is lo loss of a parent. And she's like just fuming for the first few sessions, thinking, when are they going to mention loss of a parent? How come my trauma isn't in here?
Right.
And then she's having a bitch to me going, I can't believe they didn't mention. And
Oh, with the
finally,
A score.
no, she was doing this online course about trauma release. And they did not mention the fact that losing a parent can be a trauma,
Right.
which is pretty
Well,
bizarre. That's the main theme of Disney movies from all time is loss of a mother.
there's an overlap between grief and trauma,
Yep.
and then you've got traumatic grief, which is
Yes.
like if your parent gets murdered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas then grief will, because death of a parent, just generally, are
Yeah.
they old already? Like unexpected death is more traumatic.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter with some people. Some people can be the most narcissistic, horrible mother on the planet, and they will still put them up on that pedestal for the rest of their lives.
That's one of the ironic things about having a narcissistic mum, particularly. When they die, the grieving goes on forever.
Yeah.
And whether that's a vulnerable or covert narcissist or a grandiose or outgoing one, yeah,
Yeah.
because there's a complication in the
Yeah.
relationship already to
Yeah.
start.
Yeah. So how we do you are you in a space where you feel picked on occasionally? And if so, how do you feel it in your body?
Oh.
Is it something that you're aware of? I suppose,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I measure my blood pressure.
Right, so your blood pressure is your go-to.
Well, that's one of the things I do because I'm not yeah, I kind of because when you're in an environment where that might happen more regularly, you
Yeah.
tend to shut down.
Yeah.
And so I'll measure my blood pressure.
Yeah, nice.
And because the thing about here's another thing, the thing about stress and blood pressure is that it makes it go up.
Yep.
Exercise makes it go up. Like I'll do exercise or I'll do some really heavy gardening and it'll go up to like 200 over, 90 or
Yep.
something, but it comes down fairly quickly.
Yep.
Whereas what I've noticed with
Which is a
stress,
sign of a great heart.
right, but except
You
that's
want it to
right.
come back down
That's
again.
right. Except the thing is, I may, because my doctor told me to measure everything.
Yep.
And so, but if somebody stresses you out and does something really mean,
Yep.
your blood pressure goes up and stays up for hours, and it's
Right.
hard to get it back down using all your skills.
So yeah, so it's activated the cortisol and the sympathetic nervous system and it's shut down the thyroid. It's shut down,
Whereas the positive stress from gardening or running, it comes down really quickly, and
yeah.
it's and then and even better, it'll come down to something really nice.
Yeah.
Whereas with the stress, it might be hours, and it'll still be 135 over 85.
Yeah.
When you really, whereas you do the exercise, it'll come down to 120 over 75.
Actually, so
And it's half an hour.
a little trick that people can do is get used to your pulse, so whatever your pulse is. So if you're with someone and even if they're not someone that you're having an issue with, if your pulse starts to increase,
Oh.
there's something about their personality or their
Pulse
words
rate.
or the vibration of them or their voice or something that might be triggering.
Yeah.
You know,
So
so
the
pulse is
part
a
and
nice, easy thing.
pulse rate stays up too, because the heart monitor has that as well.
Yeah.
And so that'll go up around between 80 and 100,
Yeah.
rather than normally sit down on like 70 for me. 70 or it's,
Yeah.
mine's a bit high usually,
Yeah.
That's a
So,
good point.
yeah. So rounding up, so being picked on, it's actually not a personality flaw. It's a nervous system issue.
It's
The
about
whole nervous system.
and a perception thing,
Yeah.
because if you're in fight, flight, or freeze.
Yep.
And generally you'll be in that if you're in a stressful or toxic environment. That's going to influence the way you perceive the world and
Yeah.
perceive relationships.
Yeah.
And same with people who come from really well differentiated families. They don't have those problems. They
Yeah.
just go out trusting everything's okay. It's like a
Yeah.
it's like a it's,
You know, I had a lady working for me years ago, and it was a particularly stressful day for me because something big was going on legally, financially, or something. But she was in my clinic. And she was a receptionist at the time. And it was funny because we had these three kids who were, 16, 17, but they were breaking into lots of local businesses. And she was up the back of the clinic doing some washing or something. And when she came back, all the money had been stolen out of the reception drawer. Now, there was only a couple of hundred bucks in there. Nonetheless, she called in the police. The police were trying to say it was her who'd stolen it. And her comment was that nothing this bad had ever happened to her before in her life. And my thought was, why you've had such, because it wasn't her money. It was my clinic. It was my money. And I don't hold anyone responsible for that. That's just crap that happens. And I'm like, it's okay, don't stress about it. It sucks.
Did someone come in the clinic
Yeah,
then?
yeah, yeah, yeah. They opened up the drawer and Anyway, so and stole, you know, again, it was only a couple of hundred bucks, but just her comment was, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And my brain goes through 42 things that, you know, worse than that in my life. So just thought that was funny. Some people have lived a very lovely
But
life,
it's
which is
also when
wonderful,
you're on the
which is
spot with
wonderful.
the police, you're too scared to think
But the
properly
police
and
were being so mean to her.
so
You know, they just are
think
so
clearly?
abusive. Like
Oh,
it's, yeah. Yeah.
I've had a lot of really good interactions with the police.
I
I've
don't
had
think I've ever had a good reaction with the police.
I mean
No, not one. I think every single one, they have just, there's always that bad cop who's just a horrible, horrible person. Anyway, so I don't like them. Not my, I'm not a fan, as Teddy would say.
I always got the thing that
Don't think defund the police either, by the way. That is not my thing.
when I was about 25, there was something happening, and we're doing something wrong, and I go, oh, the police are out the front, and he goes, yeah, it's good they're here to protect us, we're the people they want to protect, and I took that on, and that's actually true. Like, I don't do anything really terrible, so I'm actually the people they want to protect. And I look at it that way, and I go, well, and then with that attitude, there's no fight or flight. It's like, no, I'm the one you're here for, actually, because I know what the dodgy people do out there, and I don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And neither do you, right? So it's like, yeah, we're not the droids you're looking for. That's and when I and when whenever I get pulled over, I'm like, I just think in my head, we're not the droids you're looking for.
Oh,
Like in Star
yeah.
Wars.
Anyway, they're training. Anyway, yeah, not a fan. But probably my last 10 experiences with cops haven't been great. So, you know, don't forget what I've been through the last 10 years.
Right. You're a yeah, right.
You
Okay.
know,
Oh.
you know.
He.
So yeah, there's lots of ways to support the brain and the body, you know, but keeping an eye on things.
Are you saying you feel picked on by the police?
Yes, I do. And so does my friend with the $333 three or four times in the last few months. In fact, that was one of her things. She, I shouldn't say it, but she says, how many Chinamen did I kill in a past life? You know, why have I got all this karma? You know,
Wow.
anyway.
Acceptance is the first stage.
The first key. We've got to have compassion for ourselves. I think so many people, when they're feeling picked on, they just feel lowest of the lowest of the low. You know, you go into a room and it just feels like you're the one that people don't listen to or don't hear or don't, you know, so it's really important to be able to go into yourself and feel, like David said, I'm not a bad person, you know.
That's quite hard for people because if you've been in a relationship where you've been put down, minimalized, and you haven't been loved efficiently, like holistically,
Yeah.
it's like it's hard to love yourself
Yeah.
because that's not the feedback you've had growing up or in your current situation. Like often it'll happen in a job. People will just get picked on so much they come out the other end splattered.
Yeah.
Or in a family system, or there's different ways, because bullies are everywhere,
Yeah.
and the victims are there for their predatorial,
Yeah.
because it's like because we also have to look at our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities
We do.
and see how we can strengthen those.
You know, one of the, do you remember the book Susan Jeffers, How to, no, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway?
Right.
I'll just mention it because
Oh, yeah.
this is a really easy thing for people to do. Make a grid, you know, square, make a grid of nine things and have nine different things in your world. You know, whatever it is, whether it's music and family and a partner or kids or, you know, hobbies or exercise or whatever. But we've got to have more than one or two things in our life.
Right, and
Because if you lose one thing, then you've got eight other things going on to keep you
that's
fulfilled.
really good, Madonna, and it keys in with the other things we talked about, increasing diversity in the microbiome, increasing the diversity in your life roles,
Yeah.
right? And because you'll need a bunch of social roles, you'll need a bunch of family roles, you'll need a bunch of vocational roles, and you'll need a bunch of spiritual or ideological roles.
Yeah.
And the more roles, yet the more diversity we have in our roles, the less narrow-minded we'll be, and the
Yeah.
more broader we'll be able to fix up. Because, well, I'm in a bad mood. I've got all these things that I do.
Yeah.
And then you increase them, and you go, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Increase.
Paperwork puts me in a bad mood. I've said that before.
You're
So
right.
I make sure I have, you know, Bond the Beautiful or music or something going in the background. Just something, yeah. I don't like focusing too much on the paperwork. It just irritates the crap out of me.
Oh, it's so boring.
It's boring, and you know the government is just wasting so much shit, it just gives you the willies. But anyway, so how was that? So hopefully we didn't you didn't feel picked on by us.
Hopefully it makes sense.
Yeah, hopefully it makes sense because
No, but it's important.
it is important, but even doing the Moro reflex exercise every day, I might even do a video of David afterwards doing it on the table, and we'll clip that in at the end as well, so that we can talk through what's going on when you're doing that Moro reflex. If you're wearing the right clothes to do that, I certainly am not.
We shall see.
Other than that, I shall try to find an old Moro reflex and put it at the end of here, but you know, anyway, a new one with my new words
Well,
and your
Moro
input.
reflex,
It's incredibly powerful.
my thing, do more yoga.
Do more yoga.
Do more yoga because it gets so much benefits. Because Moro reflex is like a yogic position, really,
Yeah,
too.
it's what it does. It's an exercise that every time you do it, it recreates new neuronal brain pathways from the rear of your brain, because that's where the Moro reflex is stored, and all of your primitive reflexes are stored, to the frontal brain. So again, when we feel picked on, we have very specific neuronal pathways that light up like a Christmas tree every time the threat of feeling picked on is there.
Do you think that, because I find these days being on my back uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. So
So
yeah, make it nice and soft.
I just bought the exercise mat and now I'm like doing,
Oh.
I'm doing exercises on my mat
Yeah,
at
okay.
home. It's really good.
Well, we'll put a blanket on there because we've got the crystal mat on, so that would probably be uncomfortable doing it. We'll
No,
put a big fat.
it's okay.
Okay. Anyway, hope that was good fun, everyone. Talk to you again
Thank
soon.
you, everyone. Have fun.
Excellent. Enjoy your life. Mwah. Bye.
Love your work.
Excellent.